I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of the Relentless Pursuit Podcast. This episode is called Being a Good Follower.
I like this topic because we often talk about being a good leader, and there's so much emphasis on leadership. Where are you leading? Are you developing your leadership skills, the leader in you? And even from a young age, there's this emphasis on taking charge. And it struck me a number of years ago that we, even if we are a leader in life, we tend to spend the majority of our time as a follower in one way or another. So we should be thinking about this as well. It's not bad to talk about leadership and assuming those roles, but I think we need to first be cognizant of how we can be a conscientious follower, what that means, where it's applicable in our life, and making sure we're doing a good job with that, because that matters who we're following and how we're following them.
Yeah, you know, this whole idea of being a good follower has to do with this term called followership. And I think what came to mind when you were talking about like what it means or what it doesn't mean to be a good follower, it reminded me of The Princess Bride. I do not think it means what you think it means. It's like we have this like negative connotation.
It's a good Vizzini accent there. Okay. So followership, so people don't... When we think of being a follower, there's a connotation, yeah, like, and then there's a reality.
Right. Like you want to be the leader. You want to always be in charge and driving the bus. But like there's only one leader. And it's what's interesting is that it's the followers that do the work. Mm-hmm. Like a leader leads the followers. So like maybe gives like vision or direction for it. But it's those people from within that oftentimes like build and create things that a leader would maybe not have come up with on their own or would have not developed. But it's like those followers that are behind them that then see opportunity. It's like we think a leader as this like submissive, subordinate people who are like subpar.
No, you said a leader. So you think a follower is someone who's submissive.
Right. Okay. Like that we think, I'm sorry, I misspoke, that followers are these submissive, subordinate people who are subpar. And that's why you're a follower, because you're not a leader, because the leaders are the ones that have it together. The leaders are the ones, mm-hmm. you know, up front. And so if you're not that, then you must be subpar. And so you're just a follower. And so I think this episode is meant to really talk about how like followers are crucial and mm-hmm. super important in like looking at our roles as followers and what are some of the benefits of being a follower.
Right.
Because it's great to be a leader, right? Like you're the leader of our family, right?
Okay. I think of it more as a
co-leadership, yes. Assistant to the vice president, yes. Or, you know, whatever. But like, you know what I mean? That's like that we lead that. But there are some benefits. It's like when I'm not the leader, that I just get to go in and like use my talents or skills without having to be in charge.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of times there's this phrase like, I want to be the guy. I want to be the one that people see on that pedestal. I want to be the one that people go to for an answer or for a decision or for help. And we associate that with leadership. And there's a lot of good that is done through effective leaders. But I think that nobody says, I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be, you know, celebrated and visible in a way that people admire, as we often associate with leadership. And so then, yeah, we kind of poo-poo that idea of being a follower.
But even if you look at like the systems and organizations and communities you're a part of, mm-hmm. you're not always the leader. But a lot of times, if you have a good leader, they recognize good followers mm-hmm. and they celebrate those people. So sometimes we feel like we have to have the spotlight on us mm-hmm. and that it has to be all about us. When in fact, if you're a good leader, it's all about your followers.
Yeah. It reminds me, I think it was Rush Limbaugh who used to on Twitter, he would sort of symbolically not be following anyone. So he had millions of people who would follow him, and then you kind of look at who does he follow, and it's zero, because he is his own leader in a sense. And I think that was kind of symbolic for him. There's just as an aside, it makes me think there was this account. It was basically like someone pretending to be God, the tweet of God, and he followed one person, and it was Justin Bieber. That was really funny. But yeah, I think many of us think in that way where, all right, shoot, I'm not a follower. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be out front of everybody else because we associate that with prestige. So in this conversation, that's what I want to break down is like kind of looking at why do we have that association with leadership and with followership? And what are some of the ways we can be much more practical and realistic about our role as a follower and doing that well?
Well, and I think we addressed this in our last episode on self-education. We were talking about like our careers, our culture, our society is changing. So the idea that we introduce with self-education is that we need to continuously be growing and changing in a self-directed manner to like continue to move forward. And I think this idea of following, being a good follower and followership is also now getting some more research and some different perspectives on it where it's not this, you're a follower and you're subpar and you're subordinate and you need to be told what to do. But the definition of followership, if I can share it, is it's the willingness to cooperate, the willingness to work together toward the accomplishment of a mission or goal. It's an essential and effective building block to build community systems and organization. Mm-hmm. So that's not a passive role. Mm-hmm. That is something that requires buy-in and requires effort. Mm-hmm. And so to be a follower is actually a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
If you're utilizing it in the way of thinking about building something together.
Right. And I think you're building yourself in the process too.
Yes. I think that's a really big part of it.
All right. So you're ready to go back and forth with some questions.
Sure.
I have several. And the more I thought about this, the longer my list became. So we're already starting to address a few of the things that I was interested in. But what is on your list?
So I think, obviously, this is probably the underlying question of this episode is why should you want to be a good follower? Why should you want to be a good follower? Why isn't that you need to take the reins and be the leader? Mm. I mean, I have thoughts.
I have thoughts. Yeah. I think there's a range of reasons. One is I think it's inevitable. And you think about maybe even before that, we look at like, what are the things or people that could be followed? And we have leaders kind of built into our life, into our society. We have bosses. We have political leaders, right?
Right. At the national and local level. Right.
And we have, I would consider like in some ways we follow, like I would say companies or brands in some way, or we can follow people who are, maybe we'll call them thought leaders, but there, you know, there's this whole array of people who are like successful in their field and articulate or inspiring. And we could consider ourselves kind of a voluntary follower of those brands or of those people as well. So I think to answer your question, you almost need to consider, well, what particular person or entity am I following? And then we can get to, well, why is it important to be a good follower in those areas?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of delves back into the conversation we had about like social media and who we follow and why. And we follow some of those brands or some of those influencers, like whether it's a thought influencer or, you know, a celebrity or something like that. And I think the whole point of being a follower, unless you're not following just to be nosy or combative, right? Like there are some people who follow in that way. When we're a follower, we derive benefits from someone or something else. Like there's this psychological payback that we get from them. When we follow them, we are fed. Mm-hmm. Or we are like replenished in some way because like their thoughts or their insights or whatever it is that they're sharing that we're following is like we take and we digest. And it ultimately makes us better. Mm-hmm. Or gets us to stop and think. Like those are when we follow the right things and the right people or the right brands, like that's the potential there. Mm-hmm. And so if I follow you and you post something that's like thought-provoking, mm-hmm. And it pulls at my heart and it gets me to like question a belief that I have or inspires me to want to be or do something better, like that's a great reason to follow someone is because they help you to get better. They help you to process where you are on this idea or topic or notion, and they're pushing you forward.
Yeah. So I would think of a leader even more, I don't want to say tangibly, but like just more like interwoven with our life. Like, cause we could follow people very distantly on like social media or blogs and things that they don't even know we exist. But I'm thinking more collaboratively, like some leaders that I would very gladly follow are the ones who I would say can see clearly there's a particular objective or there's a vision that they have, and they can see that. And I'll also say, like, they can see the chessboard and have greater degree of insight than your average person in that particular regard. And so you kind of need that leader in that role to see the big picture, to understand the game plan, and to move the pieces in a sense. And then we understand our role within that is to recognize this is the vision. This is the vision that I believe in and can get behind. And if I play my role out according to, you know, the bigger picture, then that's going to help whatever this objective is become realized with the partnership of everyone else who's in that.
Okay. Do you have like a more specific example?
I think the most practical one would be at work. Let's say if you have a good boss, and I know many of us spend a great deal of time maybe,
complaining, not feeling
as positively towards our bosses. But I think I've had the privilege of working with people that I respect and that I admire, because I do recognize that, you know, when there's a certain circumstance that arises, there is this ability to perceive angles that I would have overlooked, or there's a kind of a bigger scope that informs the decision making that I am not privy to, not as talented at perceiving, and so that's why that person is in that position. So then I understand, like, okay, if this is my directive, then if I play this out, I can trust this leader in that we are going to accomplish the objective that we've set out to do.
You nailed my second question to that. There was kind of like my number two as a follow-up. It's like, why do or don't you follow certain people? And I think you just answer that question in regards to, it's not just likability, right? Because we can like a lot of people and follow them, like mm-hmm. regardless if we're doing it in person or within our like community or an organization that we're a part of, you know, social media. But it's not just likability, because we can like a lot of people and like follow them. Mm-hmm. But I think what you're alluding to, and the key word there is trust. Mm-hmm. It's this person has a certain perspective or built something that you have learned to trust and admire and respect. And so part of wanting to emulate that or be on board with that vision that drives you forward as well. Because mm-hmm. I can like Justin Bieber. I can follow him, right?
But you trust his leadership capacity and you're like, well.
Correct. So when we talk about like who we follow mm-hmm. and what kind of follower we want to be, or like when some people like fixate on wanting people to follow them, you know, it's not just about likability. It's about trust. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you really have to reevaluate like who you want to follow and why.
Yeah.
Or maybe reevaluate like, I don't need a million followers on Instagram. Like maybe the 120 that I have mm-hmm. are the ones that believe in me, believe in my vision, and are coming along with me. And so like that should be inspiring to know that people trust and respect you, and it's not just a follow kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of what Seth Godin writes about is it's not about the quantity, but it's about the quality of your followers. And I would also say, like, as a follower, it's not about you know, how popular or public your leader is, your brand is, but it's about the quality that you derive from that.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me or
yeah,
that you want to add?
I actually just thought of a few more. Okay. I want to back up just a little bit, because at the start of the episode, we talked about this stigma being placed on the word follower. And I think there's other ways that we do phrase it that are maybe a little bit more palatable for our average consciousness. Okay. Like we think of ourselves as a student of, or we think about who we're inspired by. But when we talk about being a follower, we don't like that. So why does that stigma exist? I mean, we are natural followers in so many areas of our lives, but why does no one like to kind of brand themselves as a follower?
I think that has to do with like social media. I really do like kind of like that. Everybody wants to be in the spotlight and no one wants to be in the backseat. Like no one wants to put baby in the corner. Like nobody puts baby in the corner. Mm-hmm.
I'm important. And therefore, if using the term follower, it's kind of declaring that I'm not as important as
somebody else. And following. There are people who like refuse to follow certain people or mm-hmm. refuse to follow anybody, like, you know, Rush Limbaugh. Like, I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. Therefore, I will not follow anybody else because mm-hmm. what they have to say isn't important. And so I think it's the stigma of if I admit that somebody else is as important or more important than me, then I'm not important. Mm-hmm. And I think part of this conversation is like knowing your role, and your role is different in a variety of circumstances and situations. Like your role in relationships is different based on your relationships with different people. So you can't always be the number one to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're my number one, mm-hmm. but you're not number one to, you know, your boss. You're like number seven, right? Like, and that's okay. And so, but that's like your own understanding of like, I don't have to be number one to this person. Like mm-hmm. it's important that I'm number one to the person who's number one to me. Like, mm-hmm. so, but it's okay to like have varying roles and relationships within those roles. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make me any less valuable. But yeah. you'll lead in the position you need to lead in, and you can follow in another position. And mm-hmm. that's just a part of your makeup and who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's not only okay to be a follower, but it is, like I said, it's natural. Like we automatically are in a lot of different domains, but it's also, I would say, encouraged as well. Maybe a stronger word would be disciple, right? When you think of like someone who you have like this sort of like this leader, this mentor, and you really want to kind of study their ways and master whatever their craft is. You can say like, I'm a disciple of this person. And that is like a kind of declaring your devotion to them in almost a religious sense as well. And, but we don't use terms like that very often. So I think it's,
well, we use mentor, right? Like, oh, I have a mentor, mm-hmm. but in that situation, like you have one person leading the other.
Yeah.
And if one person is leading, that means the other person is following. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we feel like if we're a follower, that means like, we'll always be a follower. Sometimes when you're a good follower, who is at the top of their game under somebody else, a follower also can become a leader. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you're the owner of the company or you're the, you know what I mean? Like you lead from within mm-hmm. and your role becomes important to like establish leadership because then you help make them better. So everyone yeah. continues to grow.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more too, but you remind me of a video. I don't know if you ever saw this, but we'll post a link to it on our show notes. There is this video that was put out by Derek Sivers a long time ago, and it's like this 6-minute clip of people dancing at a park. So there's some music playing, and it starts out with just one really weird-looking guy dancing to the music. And Derek like walks through the, what happens, and this guy is completely by himself. But then what happens? There's one other person who almost in jest starts dancing next to that person as well. And he calls that person the first follower. And that first follower plays a significant role because what happens then two or three more people join. And over the course of 6 minutes, like eventually the entire park, what looks like hundreds of people are dancing. And he points out that the leader by himself is a lone nut with whatever his vision of the world needs to be. And it doesn't really have momentum until you have followers. And in fact, one of the things that a good follower does is he or she becomes a leader to the other followers, because then they look at the follower for how to follow the leader.
Yeah, I think that's a great explanation. When somebody else sees somebody that they know or admire or have some trust in buying into something that somebody else is doing, mm-hmm. there is a sense of like trust and acceptance and like letting your guard down mm-hmm. to be a part of it. Like, well, if Jordan's doing this, I know Jordan, I respect Jordan, I like Jordan, and he likes this. Oh, like maybe I should give it a look. And so, yeah, it's like that, not just likability, it's like trust mm-hmm. to like join and follow. And to buy into something. I think buy-in is huge.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this question just as a follow-up to this. This is what it makes me think. Is there ever a bad reason to follow?
Oh, well, it makes me think of being a kid. The scenario, our parents have said this all. If your friends were going to jump off the bridge, would you jump? You know, like that scenario yeah. of like your friends are, you know, starting to, I remember this like in junior high school, like smoke or drink, like just because, you know, so-and-so does it, does mm-hmm. that mean that you're going to do it? And well, no, I wouldn't do that because that's not beneficial to me. That puts me in harm's way. But then there's that pressure to do it. So mm-hmm. it's do you stay true to your morals and values and follow something everybody else is following because they're following it, or do you choose to go another way?
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about too. And it actually comes up in that video that I was referencing, because eventually there's often a certain point where there's a social pressure, almost just by like numerically, there becomes this pressure, and then you become the lone nut if you are not the one following what the rest of the group does. And that's one thing that I think is important for us to consider too, is like, what are your reasons or your motives for getting behind a certain person or a certain issue or even a company, you know? Is it to fit in and just to like stay within the confines of the tribe that you see yourself in? Or is there, do you genuinely see legitimacy behind what you're doing?
And that reminds me of, I mean, this is like the funniest reference to it, but if you're on Netflix and you're watching The Home Edit currently, well, you know, this phenomenon that is sweeping and Clea and Joanna, and they're doing amazing things and I love to watch it, right? But like you see people, you know, like following them, and I follow them and I see their stuff, but I have not yet, you know, spent $4,000 at the container store to buy clear containers to like redo all of my cabinets.
That's their system.
Yeah. And mostly because like I'm pretty neat and organized. And so I already have a system kind of like that established. Would I love to spend more money to organize it and make it look just like it does on TV? Sure. But like I've kind of processed that in my mind of, well, like it's cool and I can follow it in terms of like being more organized or like setting up spaces, like to know and to learn and to grow. But I also don't feel like I have to be a follower. I have to completely subscribe to the method that they're using to the T, you know, and buy all of their containers and fill my cabinets with them in order to be organized. Like I can do it in my own way. So I can learn something from them, digest it, still be a follower, but not have to like be a convert to doing everything their way.
Yeah.
So like I'm letting them teach me and I'm growing through that. You know, it's not, you know, this, you know,
and it is hard, just raw text, mindless entertainment,
and it is you know, and they're entertaining, but right, I can be a follower of without letting that completely overtake like who I am or even the my own system that I've built. So learning and growing through that.
Yeah. All right, what else you got?
What motivates a follower to be engaged? So let's talk about like engagement with followers, because you can follow someone. And like, we, again, in the real world, in real life, or like on social media, like you can follow them. But so I think there's, you can follow someone because of likability, but then I think there's a moment of engagement. Like you're at work, right? And you work for a team or a boss or an organization. And so like you're a follower of them because they're over you and they lead. So you can just go to work and do your job. Same thing. You could be a follower on social media and you could follow someone. But I think what we're talking about with followership, it's not just following. It's not just like ability, but there's this like notion of engagement.
Yeah. I think,
and how that plays in or how that changes what followership really means, as opposed to being this subpar drone being pulled along by somebody else.
Yeah. I think that it has, there's a couple answers that come to mind. The first one is that it's this idea of like something you can get behind. There's some idea or innovation or vision that when you follow, you become a part of it. So I think of Apple, for example. Apple is kind of like famous as a company for having this like subculture of devotees who just pretty much do all the selling for them, right? And well, how did they get that? Well, it's because Apple's marketing and its branding is all about how it is innovative, how it is different, especially, you know, going back decades, a lot of their marketing was about how you kind of break the mold and become this individual who can express themselves and get away from the machine of society by purchasing their products. And people really bought into that because both the what Apple was doing, its mentality was kind of revolutionary in that sense, trying to find the molds that could be broken to take on something new. So people who identified with that were able to become the, you know, the adopters and the proselytes of that as a brand. And so I think that's one of the first things that comes to mind, is just having something that you really feel excited about, that you identify with and you can get behind.
So is it obnoxious if you are a follower of a brand or a company or a community to, I mean, they say like the best thing you can do for like a business is to like share or like posts, because it costs nothing to you. it costs a little bit of time, but mm-hmm. when you promote their business or share your experience with their business, what you're doing is, as a follower, you're sharing that business with helps build that business. And so that's what a good follower would do. Like, if you actually buy in, if this is actually important to you, like, wouldn't you promote this brand or this company or this business to help them grow and thrive?
Yeah. And I don't think it's obnoxious. Maybe it's to someone else who doesn't care about that particular brand or industry or whatever, but I think it is obviously helpful to whatever you're promoting. But, you know, I think we should be cautious with that too, in a sense, where we really need to believe in it. It needs to offer like some genuine value to ourselves or like the product of like what we're promoting, so that we don't seem illegitimate in what we're sharing with others. If you just promote everything, then people will eventually tune you out.
So it's even as a follower being selective about who or what you follow and how you're promoting that.
Well, how much can you really follow anyway? Like conscientiously, like being like devoted to and in tune with.
There's probably only if you're being honest, right? Like two or three things.
Right.
Like in my life, what would I say probably.
But let's say I bought a hacky sack and it's my favorite hacky sack. I love it to death so much. I do all my hacky sacking with it. That doesn't make me a follower of that. It just means that I bought a product that I really enjoy. So I think that there's a difference between like getting, you know, deriving some like consumeristic value from something and then genuinely being a follower of a person or a brand.
Gotcha. You have any other questions you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah, quite a few. We won't have time for all of them.
No, we won't, because we're getting close to that that wrap.
Almost time for takeaways. Okay, let me. These are too many essential ones here. All right, so I'll put them together. First, how do you identify someone or something to follow? And what kind of mindset should you bring as a follower to that?
I think that one's a little hard.
Or do we just automatically follow things and it's not a matter of choosing, it's just a matter of recognizing?
So I used to be really like selective in terms of like, and I'm talking about social media here, like who I followed and who I would let follow me. Cause people would like request to follow me and I would always just say no, mm-hmm. no. I'm like, I haven't talked to you in 20 years. You want to like creep on my book face and you want to, you know, see what's going on or like, what does she look like now? Or what does her family look like? And I didn't feel the need to like have these followers to follow me, like if mm-hmm. it was an empty follower. And then I would also be leery about like adding other things. And then in the last few years, I've opened it up a lot more because I'm like, well, I want people to be able to like have access to know like what my business is and to see what it is. And like, because that helps me like promote my business and, you know, starting business pages for people to follow me for like my thoughts and my expertise. And so I feel like it's like a double-edged sword where it's like, you want to be open to let people follow you and to let people see, but at the same time, like, following for the sake of following does nothing unless people are engaged in what it is that you're promoting or mm-hmm. what it is you're building or what it is you want them to follow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that I think about too, and you brought this up a little bit earlier, was like, whoever you're following, I would say like having a dose of skepticism or independence in your following of them too. And I think it serves your leader and it serves you really well because it really bothers me when someone, you see this especially with politics, but when someone says, all right, this person who I do follow or who I voted for, I agree 100% with every little thing that they say and do. And the opposite side, I disagree 100% with everything they say and do. And I talk to those individuals and it just doesn't seem reasonable because I don't myself like ever agree 100% with anybody, not even with you. So
agreed.
How am I going to find that represented in a political figure? But I think that's true even beyond politics as well, where we might believe in the person and we might believe in the vision, but that doesn't mean that we have to with everything that they do or believe everything that they say. Exactly. And I think that, especially if it's someone that we collaborate with and have interchange with, an important role as a follower can be that check as well to say, all right, here's the direction you're going. Here's how I see things. And you may or may not get your way or be able to express that, but at least retaining independence within the process of following, I think, is essential.
I love that. And I think that that might be one of the most important takeaways. So when we do takeaways, I would like you to reiterate that point. Okay. Because we think because we follow someone or because, you know, we ascribe to their vision, we think that we have to do everything that they do. But there has to be this filter of, ooh, I follow this person because it makes me better in this arena. But I don't find that to be true about this part of her life. And so like that's mm-hmm. not, I'm not going to unfollow her because of that, but also know that like, I don't have to be just like her. I don't have to aspire to be that thing. Mm-hmm. I can follow them because of a select portion of their vision or how they've done something well, that it's not about following to replicate. Mm-hmm. It's about following to find something good to make yourself better.
Yeah. Okay. So I've more questions, but I think we'll need to reserve those for okay,
one more.
Different
Let's
episode.
Just do one more.
Okay, fire away.
You got no, one? Oh. You do one. Okay. Since you were the one that had all the questions.
I have so many. I feel like we got to talk about these at all. Okay. Are there different kinds of followers?
I would say yeah.
Okay.
I think that there are people will follow. I think there are idle followers. I think there are reluctant followers, and I think there are engaged followers. Mm-hmm. And that's just off the top of my head, right? Like, we follow something that we're a part of reluctantly because that's like...
It's like what everybody else is doing.
Right.
All right, so we do it like, to fit in. Okay,
reluctant followers. What did I say?
Engaged.
So that I think those are those people who believe in it 100% and give it their all while they're there. And they, in being engaged and like participating and like... being a part of the vision help drive whatever it is forward, mm-hmm. even if they're not the leader.
Yeah.
They help the leaders get stronger. They help the leaders develop what comes next. Mm-hmm. And not because they need recognition, but they feel empowered. And I think that's the biggest part of followership is that followership should make you feel empowered. It shouldn't mm-hmm. make you feel small. It should make you feel like you're coming alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that as well.
And would I say the idol? So there's the reluctant, doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. The idol is present.
Present, but yeah. is unsure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we fit into those categories a lot. It's like, I want to be here, but like they're afraid to go all in.
Yeah.
They're afraid what that means because there's more responsibility.
You almost see it as a spectrum. Then, where you have like all in on this end and at least
obligated like on the other end.
Like the stubborn donkey on the other end, like getting dragged into it. And so you can be somewhere within that spectrum. And the more engaged and the more empowered you are, the further you are at the fully engaged end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay. I think there's so much more to talk about with this topic.
Yeah.
But.
All right. Well, let's get to some of our takeaways, some of our applications for ourselves based on this conversation. And then maybe there could be a fun follow-up that we can do in future episodes.
Yeah, maybe. So takeaways. Number one, being a follower is a good thing and it's a necessary thing. Like we don't always have to drive the bus. And, you know, that should make us feel happy.
Yeah.
Because to be in charge of everything all the time is tiring. So mm-hmm. how nice is it just to show up mm-hmm. and be present without having to like worry about everything else beforehand? Mm-hmm. We can be led and we can derive benefits by following other people and it can help us grow. Mm-hmm. We don't have to direct our growth. We can let someone lead us into that growth.
Yeah.
The second, and this was one of my last thoughts, was being a follower is about being empowered. Mm-hmm. You know, when we follow good leaders, organizations, growth is inevitable.
It is.
And we should see that there. And I think, you know, followership has to do with leadership. So the third one would be great followers become powerful leaders. Michael McKinney is the president of a communication and company and Leadership Now. And he's the author of a popular blog. And he said, followership, like leadership, is a role and not a destination. Mm-hmm. So it's not this... It's not this submissive thing that you will always be a follower.
It's not a healthy way to define yourself as.
Correct.
Like there are some people who are leaders, some people who are followers. We're all both.
The truth is that we are both.
Yeah.
What was the one thing I wanted you to remind me of or to recap?
Just about going in with like retaining your independence in the course of following as well. And so I think that's one important thing is just remaining even-minded, being able to think for yourself and not let the leader or the entity that you follow do the thinking for you or feel like you have to become them in every way, shape, and form.
Well, especially since we are so individual that we all have something to bring to the table mm-hmm. and we don't have to be like everybody else. The part of the strength is finding that individuality within.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. And we wish you happy following. Let us know what you think online. I look forward to hearing from you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope you will use this conversation as a starting point for your own. We hope you're encouraged to think and act more intentionally.
If you want to learn more, you can visit our website, therelentlesspursuitpodcast.com, where you can find notes on today's show, plus additional blog posts, and you can subscribe to our free members list.
Please subscribe, leave a review, and share with your friends.
Facebook and Instagram are two great places to connect with us for daily doses of our quotable quotes, behind the scenes, and real-time photos, videos, and challenges.
Until next time, let us know how you are taking life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursuing what matters.